Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and God, everything just sucks. And with me, I have...
No, we're not going to talk about the ever-snitching Gobstopper. Even we have more integrity than that. Ugh.
And...
Remember, kids, that motherfucking kiss is number one on the Billboard charts. That's what my coach might say. Can you our deal?
Yeah, the internet never forgets. It's kind of weird like that.
The internet is a terrible place, especially when a certain delegation of people find out that Joji used to be Filthy Frango the Horror.
Oh, God.
Wait, he is?
He's a young kid. These are young kids, aren't they?
Man, next thing you know, you're going to tell me that the singer from the Foo Fighters is the same guy who played drums in Nirvana.
Well...
And next thing you tell me, Rich Brown used to be called Rich Chigga. Which is basically Chinese nigga. And he's not black. And we knew he apologized for that shit, so we cool now.
Why do you think he changed his name to just Rich Brian? So much more concise that way. He's Brian, and he's rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these same people that got on that Tropic Thunder shit last week, which y'all remember that he did the blackface to make fun of white people who trying to get black bulls, not black people itself or themselves.
Well, you know what? Let's just not concentrate on all that internet drama all that much and focus on at least something minorly positive. Namely, the fact that there is now a confirmed non-zero chance that the heads of this administration have been exposed to COVID-19. I'm not a religious man, but I have never prayed harder to the heavens than I have right now that the dumbass in chief has caught this thing.
We can only hope. Karma's funny that way, and I hope they all die.
You and me both. Well, all three of us. And presumably a significant chunk of the U.S. population as well. You are not alone. But, anyway, episode 175. Is everybody still intact? Sane? We all here? All the marbles in the bag?
Mostly. I don't have that many to begin with, but still mostly intact, keeping busy with whatever I can. And hey, y'all been hearing about some new shows that are coming out very soon? In fact, one such show that's a bit of a return to form, coming out in the fall. Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot for us to do an additional 50-minute episode of our other show, but that was the one to do it. You should all listen to it and validate my hard work, because I put that together in, like, 4 hours.
Meanwhile, yeah, I'm still sitting here trying to answer the important question of who fucked you know who?
The world may never know, because they're sneaky like that. And anything else going on? Not really, just more the usual shenanigans and bullshit and... Yeah. I do hope the people in charge succumb to a very painful death so we can get smart people in charge who don't want to kill the population so they can make their wallets richer. And, you know, so we can stop all this dumbassery happening like in Clearwater, Florida. Exercising outside of a gym in protest kind of defeats the purpose of the gym.
Yeah, that's the stupidest
fuck. You stupid people.
You know you can do this shit at home, right? Like, I got some shit at home I could use, even though I haven't used in a while because I don't know the pretender got me down a bit, which got me saying, yeah, you know what, I don't feel like doing it, but fuck it. At least I got the shit at home. And use your furniture as exercise equipment. Most voice actors that did. Mm-hmm. Why can't you?
Maybe, just maybe, Maynard James Keenan should write a song about how stupid people have been acting over this whole thing. Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Clearwater is a special place. That name is almost kind of ironic because I'm pretty sure whatever's in that water is probably not very clear.
So, is it the Huntington Beach of Florida?
In a sense. Personally, I think it's more like hell, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah.
It's fucking just, Florida.
God damn it, Florida man. Stop trying to kill us. I'm talking to you, Dana White. Take the sign when one of your guys has it. That's the sign you should probably pack up and go home. Except, you know, my freedoms and... Oh, Colby Covington isn't really that much of an asshole. It's just his gimmick, bro.
Everything's just frustrating right now. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. Not much has changed. I mean, I keep myself busy with, you know, basically writing shit and trying to keep myself sane with, you know, with some, you know, with, you know, with anime, music. Especially two albums, which we'll get to at the end of the month later on, or maybe some coming soon to the site. Yeah, you'll find out. But soon. But yeah, not much. Just the same old. Just doing my thing and we're working all, and which has been hell on me. We just wishing for my days off fast, cause yeah, people really can't cook shit, can't they?
No, they do not.
Once again, Clearwater, Florida.
And that one restaurant in Colorado, which was flooded with people on fucking Mother's Day.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
You know, I hope we get to hear a rant about that from Nash and Tara later on. Especially since Tara lives in Colorado. I'm sure she's got stories to tell.
Ah, yes, the nightmare tales with Tara. That sounds like something I need to gather around for. With booze, because it sounds like it'd be very painful. I don't understand people. Why are they like this? But, anyway, as for me, again, literally absolutely nothing. Just sitting here, editing podcasts, playing some Final Fantasy IX, watching TV, just whatever I can to buy my time. And with all that out of the way, time to get into the usual meat of this podcast, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. Of course, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and, you know, have more context for the various songs that we shall be discussing. Starting right off at the top, hey, remember when Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer were all supposed to be doing a major tour this year? Wishful thinking. But at least that gift to the touring circuit is technically off the table for now. But the musical projects that were stemming from that, unfortunately, are still on the table. That Fall Out Boy Greatest Hits album came out. That Green Day thing happened. Honestly, still worst. Still, like, number one worst album of the year for me so far. Just what the fuck? And, of course, there was the planned Weezer album, Van Weezer, which was originally meant to drop this month, but of course got pushed on later down the line due to the whole pandemic. But, that didn't stop them from releasing a new single, this one titled Hero, with a video that's appropriately themed to all the essential workers in the hospital, you know, staff that are working overtime because of, how poorly the Dumb Messenger has handled this plague. And, of course, continuing the trend from, the previous single we got... And again, maybe I'm grading on a curve here because I'm just happy that Weezer remembered what actual friggin' instruments are. But this one is another, like, fun, upbeat, anthemic kind of arena rock jam with this very almost kind of breezy summer vibe as well that honestly is kind of like what shit like the White Album and Pacific Daydream should have been. The lyrics are, of course, pretty standard about, like, the nature of being a hero and how Weezer is, is uncomfortable with being viewed as some kind of hero because it places unrealistic expectations on you that, as people, will never be able to meet. Still pretty simple by Weezer standards, but honestly a lot more thinking ahead than anything else they've done prior to this. It's a fun jam. I'm still tempering my expectations for whatever the big picture of Van Weezer actually ends up being.
Yeah, this song is very Ubaity in Sonic Scope, which means it's one of the better tracks Weezer has done. Very upbeat and anthemic with some crunchy guitars to keep its pulse going throughout. It's a good time. It's a good time.
Yep. And now let's move on to our next track here. Oh, look at that. It's the host of Snail Down, the best damn television show on television, Hannibal Burgers. Oh, wait, I smudged that in my notes here. It's Hannibal Buress, who honestly should be hosting the Eric Andre show at this point, because, you know, bitches be shopping.
Oh, yes, and as far as the way he's been making some busy during this time of quarantine, which he got a new joint called, and I'm not shitting you, Judge Judy.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, remember that show that maybe your mom might have watched when you was out of school, and you remember, here's Judge Judy, or, surprisingly, I think it's gonna turn 25 coming this year or something.
Yeah, I think, if I recall correctly, that the Judge Judy program, as we know it, is technically finishing its run soon, only for her to be launching, like, a new show later down the line. So, we're going from Judge Judy to Judge Judy Ship It In.
Okay. Okay. After the song, I mean, you don't have a verse, but now you know the dude gotta come with some shit that make you laugh. Like, his verse, he goes like, "Just remember me. I was on an episode in 2003. Yeah, I was in a finite. You doubted me because I didn't pay rent for 1,000 weeks. Oh shit. Oh rent.
Yeah.
Okay. You gotta say I'm squatter B. I can't live a squatter C because I got all these mamas. So I had to learn the law and just cut the one costa for me, like, okay, he got some, like, maybe some funny things. He got the hook. Maybe with him and this other hook guy, Ron Lamont, which he goes, well, basically, they're just saying Judge Judy, over and over again. And he goes, like, Judge Judy, the formula is all over TV, it's just a charisma, gives up the good word, and that's what they will be. Like, okay. Okay, like, also, he mentioned Judge Mathis for, I mean, in the way, like he says, this is one of the people, but he's not Judge Judy. Okay? What do we do for Judge Joe Brown next?
Hey, just reference all the judges that I watched that one time I had to stay home from school because I accidentally got my hand slammed in the car door. This was in grade school. I sometimes still feel the pain in my hand. Ow.
Okay, then.
But, yeah, that's a song that exists. But time to move on to the next track here, which is, oh, hey, look at that. Even more Denzel Curry, because the guy ain't slowing down. No, the fuck he ain't.
Yeah, the guy, but especially, like, after doing that David Kitty Beats, he even did a remix of that JPEG Mafia song, earlier, I think it was Bald. Yeah, he did the face of that, but now he got a new thing because we need music and happiness at a time like this, quoting him, which is his freestyle. I'm just saying, though, and I gotta say, you know, for Denzel, do we have some nice ass bars, as usual. Instrumental got this very, you know, it's very triumphant kind of type of beat, like, you want to bob your head to it, like, the shit sounds good.
Yeah, you know, some pretty sick bars, that really nice 70s soul disco beat going on, bomb-ass freestyle. Anyway, speaking of Lucy tracks out of nowhere, we got a new one here, courtesy of the band Veil of Maya. Still not sure if they have any sort of album looming in the future, but, you know, if they did, those plans probably got delayed because of things. But, yeah, second time we've heard from them in as many months with a new track called Outsider. And compared to that previous single, yeah, this be hitting different. Like, the last song we got to them felt very melodic, you know, more towards that end. But Outsider slams right out of the grate with really aggressive downtuned chugs and growl vocals and shit. That sounds more a throwback to, like, the earlier Veil of Maya material, you know, with a good amount of pinch harmonics, dissonant in the mix for added flavor. Although there is, of course, like, those melodic vocals and chord progressions in the chorus and everything to balance out all of that. And I'm just remembering the good old days. a simpler time, probably back to when I saw them live, I think Summer Slaughter 2012, I believe they were on that tour, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, no, honestly, the heavier parts of the song really kind of slap pretty hard. And I also like how the video for this song pulls out, like, there's that little ambient bridge, it pulls out this end credit slate, and then immediately swings into a heavy closing breakdown, like, heh, psych, song ain't over yet, yeet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I gotta admit, though, that opening verse, it gave me some very solid, what the fuck is going on, kind of vibes. God, that was a terrible song. But then that chorus comes in to save the day, and it's given me some Altered State era Tesseract vibes. It's pretty good. Not a big fan of that snare sound or those diminished scare chorus I wrote in my notes. But the rest of the track is pretty alright. And I agree, we should definitely liberate the Earth from all of the wealthy and bureaucratic idiots running everything. And also Elon Musk, because... Gavin Newsom, please arrest him.
Elon Musk is like Senku Ishigami's evil twin, to put that in weeb speak.
Yeah, and he's just not very bright because, you know, trust fund baby from apartheid in South Africa.
Yeah. The tea is very delicious right now, just saying.
Yeah. Keep talking, Elon. See how much your sock continues to fall.
Anyway, on to the next track here, since we brought up Mr. Hannibal Buress and the Eric Andre Show. Now, joining the song lineup, Ariel Pink! And a whole bunch of other puns that rhyme with pink. Eh, that's still a funny gag.
Yes. Originally, like, this song is part of his compilation series that the label he's on, Mexican Summer. Yeah, that's the label. It's called Looking Glass, which they describe as music more focused on the human condition as affected through Morocco connection. Okay, which, let's get to get the songs with, let's get the songs from Conan Moccasin and a bunch of other motherfuckers, but okay, right now we're focused on Ariel Pink, which he did a song called Iron Warrior. Like worry, like worrier, like he's pretty worried. Like, that name is down type because I keep on getting Iron Warrior. Like, okay, he did a song called that a few years back, which it's kind of confusing. You should have kind of given another name because that kind of makes it so confusing. Anyway, not the song. The song, I fucks with it. Like, it has very low, it's very lo-fi, it's like lo-fi psychedelic cover groove going for it, which I was out of my head a bit, which it's kind of like what I kind of new chord for Ariel Pink, like this, like, it's very hazy, very, you know, this just makes you wonder as you listen to it, like, yeah, I think it's pretty good, I was really feeling this.
Yeah, you know, pretty vibey-ass, hypnagogic kind of dream song that just kind of loops, basically, you can vibe to it, yeah. And while on the subject of Adult Swim stuff, we are now moving on to our next track, this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, coming from Chemicon, or Semicon, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong either way, but anyway, this week we're dealing with a Mexican-based folk metal act whose aesthetics are rooted in the tradition of the indigenous people of that country, so more along the realms of like Aztec and Mayan stuff, probably more towards Mayan, given that the name of this song, and again, I'm probably pronouncing this horribly here, Yuk-ol-Kab-Maya, so yeah, Mayans. And it starts off how you would expect in that kind of Mexican folk sense, a lot of these ominous throat singing chants, a lot of native woodwind instrumentation, that very pounding ritualistic drum beat. But then, of course, you get into some really gnarly grooving triplet riffs and drums, with the folk instrumentation and a lot of those woodwinds and stuff still working in the background. The vocals have that gruffness befitting of not just the language, but also kind of a stylistic bend similar to like some recent era Skeleton Witch, along with that really sweet melodic chorus. And there is a part where the beat kind of moves into this like 6-8 vibe with this very prominent like hammer-on pull-off, you know, riffs and guitar solos and everything. You know, I am interested by this. I am going to have to set aside some time to really explore through Chemicon's discography. They have my attention.
Indigenous Mexican Aztec folk metal. That's certainly an interesting combination. I like the jungle groove to kick the song off. It forms a very stark contrast with the pretty heavy grooves the song carries through it, especially those sections with those blistering double bass kick patterns. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty aggro. I'm digging it, even if I don't really understand it because I'm, you know, stupid.
I mean, honestly, same here. I don't understand a single word of this. But, yeah, that covers that. So, now we move on to the next couple tracks here, which sees us revisiting an old friend of ours, Mr. Gwarsenio Hall and his 2 Minutes to Late Night project. This time there's two songs here, although one of them is arguably more of a bonus since it's been around for a bit. But anyway, the most recent 2 Minutes to Late Night cover is one of the song Snakes of Christ, originally by Danzig. This time around, with him mainly doing the vocals, he's got help from guitarist Gina Gleason of Baroness and John LaMacchia from Candiria, bass guitar from Stella Leung of a band called Potion, and drummer Santos Montano of Old Man Gloom fame. We might be revisiting you and sometime in the next couple weeks. Anyway, the original song itself is a pretty slow, steady, hard rock jam. Kind of typical of the era, I'm guessing. I've never deep dived into Danzig all that much to take it with a grain of salt. The cover sounds like what you would expect from all these forces, a pretty modern updating of the song. Gwarsenio does a pretty solid impression of the Danzig vocal style, while instrumentally, the guitars are significantly more down-tuned and, you know, brittle in the mix, more distorted than the original. The drum work is a bit more dynamic flow to all the fills and everything instead of just the straightforward beats of the original song. Also, I gotta admit, I kind of like the part in the video where Gina just randomly stares into her kitchen oven for absolutely no reason. So, if nothing else, you can tell, like, everyone involved is amusing themselves and having fun making these. And, just to touch on the other thing we got real quick, this is a bonus. So, apparently, Gwarsenio made an appearance at the 29th edition of the Gainesville Music Festival called The Fest to help perform a cover of Danzig's Am I Demon case. The cover was performed by the hardcore act War on Women. The original song, again, just for context, you know, it's got a pretty steady groove, some pretty boisterous vocals, and I didn't know that this was from, like, the Danzig self-titled, that it was the track directly on the track list before the track that I'm sure we all know from Danzig, Mother. I really gotta find some time to listen to older Danzig at some point. And, okay, this is pretty good quality, you know, cover for both, like, musically and even visually as well. You know, pretty solid concert production video. And the vocals, of course, mainly from War on Women, do a good job of mimicking that old Danzig swagger. And also Gwarsenio, when he gets in, he adds some nice growls that help flesh out the dynamic so it's not just hearing two Danzig impersonators. And, you know, overall, it just kind of reminds you of a time when Danzig made music that was kind of dignified before he decided to cover Elvis.
Yeah. It's fair to say that Mr. Gwarsenio is a much better Danzig than Danzig is right now, especially since, you know, Elvis is rolling over in his fat grave.
Oof.
For the first track, I'm watching this, and I have two things to note. One, why can't Baroness be this interesting on a regular basis instead of, you know, being boring? I can only hope.
I have no idea, man.
Yeah. And the second thing, there are some bits before and after the song, I think with the guy who plays the drums. He has his bookshelf and he's going through, you know, children's books. Then he pulls out a book from Broad City, which is very, very, very not safe for work in a lot of aspects. Yeah, that's something. As for the track with War on Women, same as before, Gwarsenio's a better Danzig, Elvis is rolling over in his grave. There's a much tighter tone to this, though, and I especially really love that snare sound. It's just the right amount of brightness and punch to make it very appealing to the ears, if that makes any lick of sense.
Yeah, like I said, this is a really quality live recording. I really gotta go to the fest one day.
You know, when we can go to festivals again. Which might not be for, at the rate we're going, 22 years.
But yeah, there's all that business, and once again, remind me I should really dig through 2 Minutes Late Night in full. But that's not the time for that. Now we got to move on to our next two songs here, both from the same artist, Brockhampton. It's been a bit of time since we heard from them. They had Ginger out last year, and, you know, they've just kind of been keeping relatively quiet, save for, I think, a remix at some point in the past. But, yeah, in the past week or so, they dropped a couple of Lucy jams here to talk about. The first of these being a track called Things Can't Stay the Same. And it's pretty short. I mean, both of these tracks are pretty short. They're just about 2 minutes or so. Things Can't Stay the Same. There's a good beat here with this kind of thumping kick and bass that, when combined with the sort of retro soul-sounding vocal samples, kind of sounds like a really good Kanye West beat. You know, when Kanye West isn't being weird. The verses here are mainly from Kevin Abstract and Matt Champion, both of them, you know, dropping bars about, like, you know, living in simpler times back in Texas and everything, just ordinary dudes before becoming one of the big breakout music acts of the past 5 years. It's pretty standard territory. There's not a lot to work with, but what is here is pretty solid to listen to. And then, of course, there's the track NST, which I forgot to jot down what that was an acronym for. But, yeah, this one, there's a lot of layered vocals in the intro, while the main beat kind of has, like, this, you know, minimal, sort of trap-esque thing with kind of, like, a weird synth. Almost kind of like that dentist drill sound that we made a joke about that one time. It's got a bit more of a modern twist to it, though. Definitely more intense lyrically, as a lot of it's about how these guys feel like they can't trust anyone anymore given their newfound fame and that people are all out to get them. Mainly, again, another Abstract and Champion joint, although the intro vocally is from Jabari, and there's that bridge from Bareface. And yeah, these are some interesting jams. I'm curious if this is leading to a new album of some kind. I wouldn't put it past them. Lord knows how much stuff they got floating up in the air at any given time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think these are interesting jams. I will say, things get the same, that's got more of that very... that most local beat that does kind of work, but in ST got more beat I can get with, but yeah, both tracks are pretty good from them, and yeah, they're both solid.
Now to move on to the last track we have to discuss this week. So yeah, Maynard James Keenan's been pretty busy this past decade, hasn't he? We had there's been intermittent Tool touring here and there. There was that new Perfect Circle album that came out 2018, 17, I forget what year that was. There was, of course, finally, after 13 goddamn years, the latest full-length Tool project, Fear Inoculum, just last year. So, you know, things are feeling like they're on track. I guess the only thing that would be left would be if we had a new Pucifer project or something on the horizon. And as it turns out, there is. Supposedly it's due out sometime in the fall. There isn't a name attached to the project yet, but we know what's happening. We know what's happening. And we know what's happening because there's a new song to go along with it as well called Apocalyptical. So, yeah, this track here, I'm kind of going into it blind. I'll admit Pucifer was never something I really actively followed or kept up with, so take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt here. It kind of opens with this really simplistic, like, almost kind of doorbell-esque synth lead, which, after a few of those weird, like, haughty vocal passages, segues into this kind of steady, four-on-the-floor drum beat with this kind of dancey sort of vibe to it. Almost kind of reminds me of, like, something that, like, a slightly heavier, like, Queens of the Stone Age would probably do, or, like, an even weirder Queens of the Stone Age, especially with some of those twangy guitars that poke in and out of the mix, in a sense. Of course, as hinted earlier, it's kind of a song and video about how there's a lot of people that are acting really stupid in the face of this whole goddamn plague. And if you keep acting stupid, Maynard James Keenan is going to dance and dunk on your ass because, guys, it's not that hard. Just stay at home and don't be racist. Jesus. So,
you'd think it wouldn't be that hard.
So, again, I don't really have much context to go off of how this squares with the broader Pucifer discography, but I'm interested, if nothing else. Like, this seems like it's going to be very strange, if nothing else.
Yeah, the whole thing I said earlier in the intro, yeah, pretty much applies to this. It's very fair to say that Maynard saw this whole thing coming and wrote about it several months ago. Because stupidity is truly eternal. Musically, it's very new wave in parts. It's like if you took some bits from, say, the Eurythmics and just made it modernized, complete with a very trippy video with a guy in a hazmat suit skateboarding and hoverboarding all across an empty Los Angeles just to get a roll of toilet paper. Again, how much did you know, Maynard? You could have told us. Just saying. Yeah. But pretty good track. Very interesting in execution. We can only hope this will come out on time, because it looks like nothing will ever come out on time anymore.
Not a thing.
Nope.
Yeah, so with that out of the way, that basically about does it for the new song discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have news, so stay tuned. And we're back. Unfortunately, we have to open up with a bit of tragic news here. Another prominent musician, unfortunately, passing away. In this past week, it was announced that Florian Schneider, a German musician best known as one of the co-founders of the electronic music icons Kraftwerk, had passed away at the age of 73 from cancer. Obviously, a huge loss for the industry, considering, as we said, this act basically pioneered, like, damn near all of electronic music as we understand it today, you know, starting with Kraftwerk and Kraftwerk 2, before eventually getting into their run of really successful iconic albums like Autobahn, Radioactivity, Trans-Europe Express, and The Man Machine, pretty much defining the frameworks by which, you know, electronic and dance music would abide by for the decades to follow, influencing all kinds of other icons, especially people like Björk, Joy Division, Giorgio Moroder, etc. This is a huge loss, especially considering, like, I know, even though I know he hadn't been a part of Kraftwerk since, like, 2008, I know they had been doing some touring recently. It would have been cool to, I don't know, maybe sometime in the future for them to try and hook back up together. I know they had touring plans that were supposed to run either sometime earlier this year or later this year. That, of course, probably got delayed because of COVID-19, but still, damn, this is fucked.
They're sad with a week full of notable deaths. Considering, yeah, with this, and little Richard who passed away a few days ago.
Yeah, one of the gods of rock music as we understand it, just...
Yep.
Yeah.
Just not... Gosh. Not generally good news. And the news is getting slightly... Well, I mean, this isn't a tragedy, but it's, you know, diving back into the way COVID-19 is kind of screwing the whole music industry. But this might be a mild bit of a bright spot here. So, as we all know, a lot of albums are getting delayed and pushed out of their original release windows, one of the more notable being that Lady Gaga's Chromatica, her brand new album following up, you know, Joanna. Yeah, I don't know why my brain farted. I was also trying to think of, like, A Star Is Born, because that happened as well, you know, all that, and this album was supposed to originally drop on April 10th, but it got delayed, and now the newly announced release date of Chromatica is May 29th. So, yeah, we basically got up until the end of the month before we can listen to some new Gaga, although Lord knows if the state of things is going to be as such that it ends up getting delayed again. A double delay.
Let's hope not, because we need something to close the month out on in a good way, you know, for once.
Yeah, I know, like, a few weeks ago they put out, like, a track list of who's in it. I keep getting, like, I know some guests on there. Let me check. It was Elton John on there, Ariana Grande, and Blackpink. I'm guessing that came out. Yeah, anyway, the track list should be kind of interesting. I hope nothing else happens to me. If she had to wait again. But, well, I mean, you never know these days.
Yeah, it's just a whole lot of question marks everywhere. question marks, not just for like album releases, but also for touring and live shows. Just how are people trying to manage, aside from, you know, stuff like those collaborative video covers from across everyone's bedrooms and kitchens? And of course, the main answer seems to be a lot of people who are either beefing up their presence on streaming services like, you know, Twitch and Facebook Live, or who are just now getting into it to try and figure out the platform. What, you know, just everyone trying out every which way they can to get their own workflow going so that people aren't deprived of this stuff. The latest attempt at innovating in this regard is coming courtesy of the band Suicide Silence. They put out an official press release recently, like literally the day we're recording this, saying that they were going to try attempting something of a virtual tour. So, as they announce it, Suicide Silence announces virtual world tour with unique sets, exclusive merchandise, and custom experiences in each market. Each show will feature a professionally filmed multi-camera live set, along with an extensive post-performance Q&A. Every market will have its ticket purchase geo-gated within a reasonable radius, so only those in that general area can view its particular stream. Bands will be able to participate in a live chat with each other and the band throughout the experience. All ticket purchasers will have access to an exclusive merch collection that includes an official tour shirt specifically for that market, as well as a number of items that will never be sold elsewhere. The streamed performances will go on sale several weeks or months in advance, whereas fans will be able to communicate their setlist preferences and make other special requests leading up to their show. Several dates are being finalized, with Los Angeles and New York expected to kick things off sometime in June. And, yeah, so this is certainly an idea. I'm not sure how well it's going to work. Maybe it'll go over smoothly. I'm kind of getting the vibe that this is basically like the live stream equivalent of like when some kind of touring show or a band's like festival performance gets broadcasted as like a, you know, one of those Fathom events sort of one or two night only sort of shows, except obviously this relying on a greater deal of fan interactivity than is possible with that kind of environment. You know what I mean?
Kind of, yeah. I'm curious to how the whole geo-gated thing is going to work, because people can use VPNs to trick internet providers into thinking they're somewhere else. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure how this is going to work. I know some other platforms are trying to get this whole thing started. I know that there are more virtual conventions happening, which basically requires you to, you know, subscribe to your Twitch channel to count as your admission. This is all very new. I think we're going to have to sort out all the bugs before this gets sorted out properly. And if they want to be the guinea pig for this, go ahead. I'm not sure how well it's going to work, but only time will tell, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just this whole complicated thing. Just everyone trying to make the best of a bad situation until things get back to quote-unquote normal, which, again, probably isn't happening because of places like Clearwater and Colorado and just dumbasses everywhere. But, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, as one squirrel said, the pity isn't a virus, but it's spread like one.
Yep. Never doubt Sandy Cheeks. She clearly knows what's up. Anyway, now time for this last article here. So, at least a bit of interesting, in a good way, news. So, lots of us are probably spending our free times quarantined at home watching a lot of streaming things, as previously mentioned. Whether that be, you know, YouTube, Twitch, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Plus, Amazon Prime, damn it, Disney Plus, just this whole thing. But now we have the newest one, maybe not the newest one, but a very interesting online streaming project. So an intrepid user on the internet has been going through a video collection of theirs and archiving it to, of course, the Internet Archive. This, in particular, being a whole lot of early age MTV programming. The collection is being uploaded chronologically under the pretty straightforward title 80s MTV VHS Recordings 1981 to 1989 Collection. So far, the footage pretty much has everything you would have seen live on TV as it aired. You know, the promos, the outdated commercials. It pretty much begins literally right at the beginning, at August 1st, 1981, with that first broadcast of the Buggles video, Kill the Radio Star. And yeah, it's got, like, a lot of shit, you know. Spring Break 1987 with the Beastie Boys, Dee Snider's Twisted Christmas, even all the Live Aid coverage of 1985, old Headbangers Ball episodes, video countdowns. There's a lot of stuff here, and honestly, I'm almost intrigued enough just by the conceptualization of this existing that I might have to set aside some time to dive in. This is work. Lord knows how far this archive of quintessential MTV actually goes down, what kind of rabbit hole there is.
Yeah, stuff like this is always interesting to sort of gaze at in wonderment. And stuff like this, you know, all the videos, all the old TV shows, this was originally what MTV Classic, the channel, was supposed to be when it was relaunched a couple of years ago. And then Viacom did what Viacom does, and they decided to act stupid and think, how can we make money from this whole thing? I know, we're just going to turn our channel into a jukebox. 24 hours a day, nothing but videos, and barely anybody cares. Just like most of their channels, when they're made up of like 20 hours a day of reruns and syndicated television shows. Because God knows you want to watch The King of Queens on CMT.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. And it would show stuff like, you know, like here's Fresh Prince on MTV or BET, which I like Fresh Prince, but we've seen it all. I mean, it's good. It's good, but still.
Yeah. It's just, that's the modus operandi. Acquire all the syndicated shows and put it on every single one of their channels. And also air the VMAs on every channel live when nobody cares.
Well, you're going to have it again this year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand broadcast television sometimes. Although sometimes it does give us the beauty of things like the SAO broadcast glitch, and I'm thankful that exists at least. Oh, yeah. It's a blessing and a curse.
That's been a year ago. Oh my god.
Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it?
Yeah. Good times, good times. And yeah, that's basically about it for the news. So there's just one last thing to talk about here, and that is the, of course, new album releases for the week of May 15th, 2020. Starting at the top, there's unfortunately a new Asking Alexandria album, Like a House on Fire. We have the newest album from Antichrist Demon Core with Satan is King. A new album from prog metalers Binary Code with Memento Mori. There's a new Moses Sumney project called Gray. The newest album from Polo G with The Goat. There's a new Caitlin Aurelia Smith album, The Mosaic of Transformation. A new Perfume Genius album, Set My Heart. A name that I have not heard in a long-ass time, DJ Tiesto with The London Sessions. Ooh, and last but certainly not least, the newest album from Charlie XCX, How I'm Feeling Right Now. So, yeah, there's basically your weekend listening, so now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, where I do stuff and where I need recommendations on a good laptop stand because my computer keeps slipping and I hate it and it keeps hitting me in the knee. I hate this freaking thing. It's a living.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, on Twitter, MacTavern Media, and on my site, mindhyperwonderfulpress.com. And, hey, I finally released something this past week. Finally, my season 2 of Trap Gang Kong with just 2 episodes because, yeah, I'm not doing the weekly shit anymore. I'm posting as I feel like it because, yeah. Enjoy those episodes because it took a long time to write.
Yeah, long time. So anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me robert@superresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel of Super Resolution. So subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified when new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SuperResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast ONA, all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well so you can barter for fruit in Animal Crossing or whatever it is the kids do these days. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with our usual nonsense. And until then, God, we are all going to die, aren't we?